Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. We'll step outside of our regular series in Samuel to look at John the Baptist. And as I read from Isaiah 40 a while ago, we read there of the herald who will be the voice calling out in the wilderness, making the paths straight for the coming of the King. And in these verses we will read this morning, we will be contrasting the pronouncement of the birth of John the Baptist and the pronouncement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking how both of these come together. So let us read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and I'll be reading quite a few verses, verses 5 through 45. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before the Lord, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to take their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people." In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to see her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from Luke chapter 1. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. One of the most common ways I've heard that verse and this passage interpreted is to use it for the case of going against abortion. Here we have an unborn child, 6 months old, and this unborn child, when he hears the voice of Mary's greeting, leaps in the womb of his mother and demonstrates that he is a child, that he is alive, that he does recognize sounds and voices, and that he does live and act, even unborn, as a baby. Well, certainly that is a good point, isn't it? And I can just hear and know that this passage is used to help mothers who are contemplating abortion to see that their child is alive and is real. But there's more to this passage than just that. The reason why the Lord has included this in the Scriptures is to teach us something much more than just that. The Lord, when He tells us about John the Baptist leaping in the womb of his mother with joy, is telling us and showing us not only how this first chapter of Luke is all connected together, but he's also demonstrating how the entire Bible is connected together. You see, Luke chapter 1, in these verses we have read, are really divided into three parts. We have the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, where Gabriel comes and speaks to Zechariah. Then we have the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus, where Gabriel comes and speaks to Mary. And finally, when you come to these verses 39 through 45, with the visitation of these two mothers, both of these announcements come together as one. But the only way you're going to see that is when you look at the context of these verses. Now remember, we are at the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. With the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the story of the birth of the New Testament and the end of the Old Testament temple system. Now, if you remember our earlier sermons in Samuel, you will remember that that time of the birth of Samuel pointed to a similar time period. It was the end of the period of the judges and the beginning of the monarchy, the coming of the king. And Samuel was the figure who bridged those two eras. And as you looked at that time in Samuel, you saw similar things to John the Baptist. You saw a mother who was barren, as Hannah was. You see a faithful Levite, as her husband Elkanah was and Zechariah is. You see a transition. The Lord is going to destroy the temple system at Shiloh, and he is going to bring things to Jerusalem, where things will be changed forever. That's what's happening in Luke. But one other thing that is very similar between the story of Hannah and the story of Luke is that the names of the people in the story represent what's happening. In the story of Hannah, we showed how Elkanah was so faithful in his calling and in his work and in his going to worship the Lord at the temple. We saw in Hannah and her barrenness, the barrenness of the state of Israel. They had no leadership and they were looking for a new leader, and her son Samuel would be that leader. We saw in Elkanah's other wife, Penina, the harassment that went on between the nations, because Penina did not believe in the temple system, she did not believe in the Lord, and she harassed the Israelites just as the Philistines were doing. The characters in the story represented what was going on in that time period. Well, as we come to Zechariah and Elizabeth, you must recognize that they represent what's going on in the time period. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth represent to us the Old Testament. Look at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Here is Zechariah, who belongs to the priesthood. Elizabeth, who also belongs to the priesthood, married together, representing it all the way back to Aaron, the beginning of the priesthood system. We read in verse 6, both of them are upright in the sight of the Lord. They observe all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. If there ever was two people to write about who lived faithfully according to the law, who faithfully went to the temple each and every time that was required, who as priests of the Lord were faithful in their task, it is Zechariah and Elizabeth. But there's a problem. Verse 7, they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. They have no child. They have no future. That was huge in the Old Testament day. Without no children, without no offspring, there was no carrying on of their inheritance and of their future in the land of Israel with their family line. It was an embarrassment to be barren and not to have a child. People looked down on you as if the Lord was not providing for you and blessing you because of something you had done. And here is Zechariah and Elizabeth with all of their faithfulness, upright in the sight of the Lord, keeping the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Which one of us wouldn't want the Lord to say such things about us? Yet they are old and they are barren. Isn't that the Old Testament? As we come to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, it is old, the temple system. And in all of its regulations, in all of its keeping of the commandments, it's barren and left with no hope. You see, in all of Elizabeth and Zechariah's faithfulness to keeping the law and the regulations of the temple, it gives no solution to their barrenness. So one day, Zechariah is in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appears to him there as he's offering the incense. And when the angel sees him, she tells Zechariah to not be afraid, for he is scared at this angel of the Lord who has suddenly appeared after 450 years with no prophets and with no speaking, with no revelation from God. This angel appears in the temple and appears to Zechariah himself, and he is terrified at the sight of this angel. And he's told that he and his wife after all of these years of barrenness, will have a son. In fact, this son fits very closely to the instructions concerning Samuel, doesn't it? He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. An Old Testament child. In fact, the angel goes on in verse 34 to say, many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This son of theirs will be like the Old Testament prophet Elijah. He will call the people to repentance. He will call them back to their God. For that is what Elijah did, the king of the prophets. But when Zechariah hears all of this news, he asks the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is along in years. I'm old. My wife is old. How can you have a child when you're as old as me? How can I truly know that this is going to happen? And when Gabriel hears these words from Zechariah's lips, the angel who has stood in the presence of God goes to Zechariah and tells him that he will be silent. He will not be able to speak because he did not believe the angel's words. When Zechariah returns from the temple, he cannot speak. The people recognize that something is going on. Something has happened. Perhaps he has seen a vision. His wife Elizabeth doesn't do much better. When his service is completed in verse 23, she goes back home and he goes back home. And just like Hannah and Elkanah, she becomes pregnant. But what does she do? For 5 months, it tells us, she remains in seclusion. She does not come out and pronounce the joy of being pregnant and that God has finally blessed her in all of her barrenness. She goes into seclusion. And she says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people. She recognizes that the Lord has done something. She recognizes that the Lord is working in her life. But she does not express overbearing joy. She has not heard from her husband what is going on, for he cannot speak, for he has not believed. And while she's thankful for the child, she seems to not understand. Well, Gabriel's not done. For the Lord sends Gabriel to meet with Mary. And you will notice that Mary is the opposite of Elizabeth. Mary is not old in years. She's not even married. Mary is a virgin, not too old to have a child. Mary is pledged to be married, and the angel appears to her and says, Mary, you are going to have a child. In fact, the man that she is pledged to marry is not from the tribe of Levi. He is from the tribe of Judah. And the text tells us that he is of the descendants of David, verse 27. Mary the virgin. Mary young in years. Mary married to a man of the tribe of Judah. Has an angel appear to her and say that she will have a child. It's like the beginning of something new. But you see, Mary is also troubled. She is also afraid of the words of the angel. But the angel promises her that her child will have the name Jesus. that he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asks, how can this be, since I am a virgin? Now, the words of Gabriel that Zechariah heard must have been hard to believe. His wife was old. His wife was beyond years of childbearing. But the words that Mary has heard must have been even more incredible. Mary has never been married. Mary is yet a virgin. And now the angel tells her that as a virgin, she's going to have a child. And what does Mary say? Verse 36 or 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Do you see the contrast between Mary and Zechariah? When Zechariah hears the words, how can I be sure I am an old man and my wife is well along in years? When Mary hears the words of the angel, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. When you read the pronouncement of the birth of John the Baptist and the pronouncement of the birth of Jesus, as Luke has described them in these verses, we are reading the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the new. We are reading that those who were faithful in the tabernacle system, those who faithfully kept all the commandments and the regulations, they are barren. There's no fruit. We are reading about Mary and the birth of something new. To a mother who is yet not married, to a mother who is yet a virgin, to a mother who is going to give birth to a son who will reign on his throne forever, whose kingdom will never end. We are seeing the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament. We are seeing those who believe in faith and those who doubt the Lord's words. But you know, it doesn't mean that they're not related. For the angel says to Mary, verse 36, Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was barren is in her sixth month. Elizabeth and Mary are not two completely different people. The Old Testament and the New Testament are not two completely different stories. They're cousins. They're related. They work together. Don't believe those people who say to you, well, let's just read the New Testament. The Old Testament doesn't have anything to do with the New Testament. Or let's just focus on the Old Testament. We don't believe that Christ has come. These two testaments are related. They work together, though different. Though one is old and barren, though one is new and fruitful. God will bring them together in the coming of his Son. And as Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, we read just how closely these two are fitting together. For Mary, in verse 39, gets ready and hurries to a town, to the hill country of Judea. And when she enters Zechariah's home and greets her cousin Elizabeth, what happens? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist leaps in the womb of his mother before he's even born. John the Baptist, the Elijah of the coming of Jesus. John the Baptist, who represents everything the Old Testament stood for, leaps at the coming of the mother of his Savior. He leaps because he recognizes that this is what the Old Testament was all about. It's all about the coming of Jesus. It's all about the coming of the Savior. It's all about the deliverance of the Lord that he would bring about through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his mother. Her heart is turned. Her husband doesn't believe. Elizabeth is thankful for the child, but she doesn't quite understand. But what happens when her child leaps in the womb? We read that she is filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaims in a loud voice, verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She recognizes that the child in the womb of Mary is her Lord. He will be her Savior. Through the jumping of this child, John the Baptist, in her womb, verse 44, she recognizes that her Lord will end the sacrificial system and be that sacrifice and salvation for her. She recognizes that what the Old Testament was pointing to, what it was bringing them to, has arrived. That the goal is here. And what does she say, verse 45? "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Oh, she tried, didn't she? She with her husband were upright in the sight of the Lord. They observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, as the Old Testament prescribed. But the New Testament is the age of faith. The New Testament, with the coming of the Savior, is about justification by faith in him. It's about believing what you don't see. It's about believing that a virgin can have a child and give birth to the Savior. Elizabeth, with the Holy Spirit upon her, recognizes that. She says about Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Her husband didn't believe. Elizabeth seems to not understand. But Mary, who was given an even more unbelievable story, believed that it would be accomplished, even though she did not see. Luke brings together for us the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the new. The one is old and barren and will give no more children. Elizabeth doesn't. The other, Mary, is young and a virgin, will give birth to the Savior, give birth to the church, and will have more children and be more fruitful. The coming of Jesus, the leaping in the womb of John the Baptist, proclaims to us the joy of this season, the joy of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of knowing that our Savior has come, that we are part of this church, the joy of understanding what it means to believe what you have not seen, and to know it will be accomplished by faith. To recognize the way that Jesus has fulfilled that Old Testament and brought about the salvation that he could only bring. the joy of salvation, that belonging to Him will make you part of a throne, part of a kingdom that will last forever and ever. This week, in talking with another minister, he said to me, "You know, Christmas is really a joyous time. It's a time in which people are giving to one another. It's a time in which people are happy as they decorate their homes, as they celebrate the season that's coming, as relatives from afar come and join them and spend time with them again. But you know, sometimes the church and ministers don't always proclaim that joy. Sometimes it can be discouraging. But when you look at the story of the birth of Jesus and the coming of John the Baptist into His presence, we see nothing but joy. Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time. It is a happy time because it is the birth of our Savior. It is His coming into this world to save us and deliver us. It's the end of that Old Testament era. It's the era which comes only by faith. This child Jesus, born of a virgin, these words of Mary, are they your words? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Blessed is she who has believed. All the Lord has said will be accomplished. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we see the coming together of the Old Testament and the New Testament in the beginning of Luke's Gospel, we too share in this joy. We share in the joy that John the Baptist, even in the womb, could feel, because the goal has come and been reached. For our Savior, who represents everything the Old Testament was about, has come into this world and has saved us from our sins. For our Savior is born. You have sent your very Son to come and to live for us. And we pray that as we celebrate this joyous time of year, we may reflect upon what that means, that we may share in this joy, that we may know and live by faith, recognizing that it all has happened, that it all has occurred, that we belong to You, and that we live forever in You. May we leap at these words. May we know this in such a way that our hearts will dwell and be happy forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.